This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن أصحاب الجنة اليوم في شغل فاكهون هم وأزواجهم في ظلال على الأرائك متكئون لهم فيها فاكهة ولهم ما يدعون سلام قولا من رب رحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Welcome, our brothers and sisters. This is a continuation of Tafsir Surat Yasin. I believe this is like lesson number 14 or 15 today, alhamdulillah. We have reached verse number 55. And verse number 55 to verse number 50 to 55, no, 55 to 60, is about paradise. It is a beautiful description of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah after we pass away. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. And it sits inside section 5. Now, the interesting thing about section 5 is that we said section 5 is to do with the blind and the stubborn on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Meaning it's supposed to be a warning to the people who reject Islam, what will happen to you after you die. So the verse before this began on a note of justice. That Allah says, فَالْيَوْمَ لَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا That today, no soul is going to be done injustice to whatsoever. You're all going to get what you deserve. Yeah, and that was like, that verse was concluding a number of verses that were speaking about punishment, threat, and the adab that will come to such people. But this verse starts by talking about the people of paradise. Indeed, the companions of paradise today are busy enjoying themselves. And that will continue on. Somebody may ask, well, how does this fit inside that section? How does this flow? This doesn't seem to be talking about the people of Jahannam anymore. It doesn't seem to be talking about a threat or punishment. But, inshallah, what we will see is that it is, in fact, connected to that idea. Yeah. In fact, I'll ask you, how do you think this is connected to that idea after we discuss a few verses, inshallah. So let us begin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna ashab al-jannah. Indeed, the companions of paradise are busy enjoying themselves today. This verse is so amazing. It begins by describing the people of paradise as ashab al-jannah. Yeah, not ahl al-jannah, ashab al-jannah. Ashab al-jannah means companions of something. Now, the word ashab is a plural of the word sahib, and the word sahib can mean a companion, it can mean friend, it can also just mean someone who should be known by something. Yeah, and that is why you understand in the Quran, sometimes Allah calls bad people ashab of something. And sometimes Allah calls good people ashab of something as well. So give me an example in the Quran. Maybe the kids here. See, very excited today, mashallah. Give me an example in the Quran. Allah says ashab, and then He's talking about bad people. Okay, just tell me, who are they? Ashab who?
Ashab la yastawi ashabun nari
wa ashabun jannah. Naam, ahsant. Ashabun nar, the companions of the hellfire. Of course, that is not people who are good people. Those are evil people. Any other examples in the Quran? Maybe not ashabun nar, but something slightly different. People of something. And they are evil people. Yeah. Yes, very good. Ashab al-Ukhdud. Qutila ashab al-Ukhdud. Allah says, curse be the companions of the ditches. Now what does that mean, companions of the ditches? What it means is that the word suhba means to tie something with something else. So, which is very interesting. Allah is saying, you know those people that killed the believers in ditches, they should be known as the people of genocide. Yeah, the only thing you should remember those people by is how they dealt with the believers in those ditches. They are Ashabul Ukhdud. infamous people, and all they should be known by is the act of genocide that they did. Yeah. Likewise, Allah says inside Surah Yasin, they were a people. They were described as Ashabul, the people inside the story of in Surah Yasin. There's a story about some people. They are known as Ashabul Qariya, right? Ashabul Qariya, the people of the town. Meaning, don't worry about their names. Don't worry about when they lived, what ethnicity they were. All you need to remember about them is that they were the people of that town that was destroyed. Yeah, Allah is making them infamous. And in the same way, Allah makes some other people famous by calling them Ashab of something. And this is an example, Ashabul Jannah. Yeah, Ashabul Jannah means now all you need to think about those people is that they are those who will be in paradise. And in that, there is a sense of belonging. Allah is saying that they are the companions of paradise, meaning that's where they belong. And what is amazing is that the journey of human beings began in paradise. Our father, Adam alayhi salam, and our mother Hawa, they began life in Jannah. That was the true home of the believers. But then what happened took place, and then they came to earth. And the place of return for the believers is the original home, which is paradise, Ashabul Jannah. Another amazing thing about calling Ashabul Jannah, companions of paradise, is it brings them together as one community. People of paradise, they will be not in isolation, rather they will be coming together as friends, as communities, and they will enjoy one another's company. Allah even says in the Quran, وَنَزَعْنَا, we will remove whatever's in their hearts of ghil, of animosity. Some people, they fall out with one another. They have beef, as they say. And, you know, whatever happens in life, they never got over that beef. However, Allah says, when they get to paradise, if both of them get to paradise, we will remove that animosity from their hearts, and they will be best friends. Yes, subhanAllah. Allah also says, عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ in Surah Mutaffifin. They will sit on their thrones, looking at one another and having conversation. Yeah, just relaxing, as they say, chilling out, and just enjoying one another's company. So, Ashabul Jannah has two connotations. First, of belonging, and second, of friendship with one another. Allah says, إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ إِنَّ, truly, this is something you cannot doubt in. This is a matter of fact. The companions of paradise today, al-yawm, as if Allah is fast-forwarding us to the very day, imagine you are in paradise, this is the scene you will see. Inna ashab al-jannah. You will see the companions of paradise, fi shughulin. The word shughul means to become preoccupied. You're busy thinking about something, you're in shughul. It also means doing an activity that is preoccupying your mind. Allah never said shughulan, Allah said fi shughulin, in shughul. As if you are immersed in something that is preoccupying you. And the word shughul means to be, fi shughul therefore means to be so preoccupied that you don't know what's going on around you. Yeah. For example, World Cup final. All the boys sitting in front of the TV watching the World Cup final. They don't know what's going on. The house is burning down, they don't know what's going on. Someone just died at a heart attack, we don't know what's going on over there. Yeah. Some of the youngsters are playing their games, they're on the final level. Mum's been calling them 10 times and they haven't got a clue. Then we went one ear, out the other. I don't know what's going on. I'm in shughul right now. Yeah. Allah says, you know what? In paradise, that is what they will be like. They will be doing activities that will consume them so much they will be totally unaware of anything else that is going on around them. Yeah. And Qurtubi said, what that also means is that they will forget about the people who they left behind who went to Jahannam. Some people's families may not make it to paradise. May Allah protect and preserve all our families. But some people, unfortunately, their mums and dads are not Muslim. Yeah. Some people, subhanAllah, their own children, though they were born Muslim, they apostated. Wal-iyadu billah. They will not be able to enjoy the company of their children or their parents in paradise, like Ibrahim alayhi salam, like even our own Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But Allah is saying, when you get to paradise, you will be in shughur, such that you will forget about everyone else. Yeah, you will forget about everyone else. And herein lies the connection to this idea that this passage is still a threat to the disbelievers. Al-Qurtubi mentioned a beautiful narration. He said that on the plane of resurrection, a caller will cry out and he will say, Where are the people of paradise? Those who obeyed Allah and were true to his contract. The people of paradise will stand up and they will be told, come forward. They will come forward to a place where Allah will address them. And he will say to them, O people of paradise, you are those who obeyed me and were true to my contract, even though you didn't see me. Then they will be told to cross a sirat, and they will cross it like a bolt of lightning. And when they get to the other side, the doors of paradise will be opened for them and they will enter inside. Then back at the plane of resurrection, people will start to say, where is so-and-so, where is so-and-so? And then the announcer will announce, إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ الْيَوْمَ فِي شُغُلٍ فَاكِهُونَ, that today, the companions of the paradise, they're busy enjoying themselves today. And that will cause those people left behind to feel even more regret and anguish at what is going on, subhanAllah. So this is in fact an indirect threat towards the disbelievers. That look, you're going to lose out in this world, and you're going to lose out in the next world, and those who you used to demonize, and you used to, you know, make propaganda against, you used to humiliate, they're going to enjoy themselves and you're going to be left behind. How is that going to make you feel? Yeah, that's going to make you feel even worse. Yeah, so in this, there is in fact a threat. And this is the way of the Quran. It speaks to many different audiences at the same time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he revealed Surah Yasin, the predominant audience were the disbelievers because it was in Makkah. So when they would hear these verses, they would think, man, that's what's going to happen to those guys? What's going to happen to us? Oh no, that's what's going to happen to us. Yeah, so it's beautiful. Two sets of people, both of them taking away a message for themselves. Fi shughulin faakihun. The word faakihun means they're in a state of enjoyment. It comes from the root of fakaha. And fakaha means to be in a state of exhilaration, a state of enjoyment. Farihun. One of the other words Ibn Atiyah mentioned, just want to find it here. He said, farihun taribun. The word farihun means to be in a state of delight. The word taribun means to be so excited that you're about to break into song and dance. Yeah, that happy and excited. I mean, the closest you can possibly imagine is maybe going on a roller coaster or something. You know, the daredevils, that adrenaline rush, like, wow. That's a kind of, you know, ecstatic feeling that they will be experiencing. Allah says they will be busy, preoccupied, and they will, because of that, be in a state of excitement and exhilaration. Just imagine that, my brothers. Allah is telling us that, you know what, in Jannah, you won't get bored. In Jannah, there'll be so many things for you to do. Anything you want to do, you will be busy doing it. Imagine, you wake up in the morning, breakfast in bed, mashallah, and you're palace carved out of a pearl, Allahu Akbar. And then what's next? Well, let's go and explore Jannah. Let's go on an adventure. Let's go paragliding off the cliffs of paradise, subhanAllah. Imagine this. And then what after that? Let's go to some of the fine dining restaurants. Eat some fine food in paradise. Then after that, why don't we visit some of the companions of the Prophet? In fact, why don't we visit the Prophet himself? Why don't we ask him, how was it living there in Makkah? What was it like up here? Tell us the stories. Allahu Akbar. I remember, subhanAllah, when I was in Egypt, there was a Rivat brother. His story, Ajibullah, his name Mustafa from Manchester. He became a Muslim whilst fighting for Great Britain in Iraq. Yeah, he broke his leg. This was in the beginning of the war. And because he broke his leg, he couldn't fight anymore, so they had to send him back. However, before sending him back, he said that there was a rendezvous. We had a meeting with our general, and he began to try and encourage us to fight. And then I said to him, how can we kill people that aren't scared to die? Yeah, and he said, the general, he swore, and he said, you're going back home. That's where you're going. Okay. So when he came back to Manchester, he started to inquire about religions. And he said, you know what, someone told me about Islam and I became Muslim. Now that brother was studying Arabic when I was there, I think it's 2005, 2006. And he said to me, what are you going to do when you get to paradise? And you know what, I thought to myself, I've never even thought of that. I felt ashamed that I've never even thought of that. He said, I know what I'm going to do. I said, what are you going to do? He goes, you know what I'm going to do? You know, like the castle. I'm going to ask Allah to give me a massive castle, which has a huge round table in it. You know, like the kings have. I said, yeah, I know what you're talking about. He goes, and around the table, I want to get all the companions of the Prophet ﷺ sitting there. And I want a full feast to be laid out. Then I want to sit with them, and I just want to go one by one and ask them, what was the most memorable part of your life? And you, what was the most memorable part of your life? And I just want to be inspired by their stories. I thought, La ilaha illallah. This is a man, subhanAllah, he knows where he wants to go in life. Yeah, Allahu Akbar. Inna ashab al jannati al yawma fi shughulin fakihun. They will be busy doing whatever they want. Busy, and Al-Qurtubi said, they will be busy doing things and they will keep getting excited and keep finding pleasure in them. Unlike the dunya. In this life, people do things to try and make themselves happy. People go out and do crazy things. Some people, they live, their life is centered around trying to find pleasure, doing different things to find pleasure. But there's always an emptiness. Isn't that true? Someone goes, you know, they've been waiting for a movie to come out for so many months. Eventually it comes out, they go and see it with their friends. After 3 hours, they've watched it, they come back home and they feel empty. Feel empty, like, oh, I just think I wasted 3 hours of my life. Man. This is the case of the dunya. Even when you are doing halal, enjoyable things, you feel like, you know what, is this what life is all about? There's a void inside you. Am I right or wrong? Yeah, you feel like, you know, this isn't the purpose of life. I don't feel like I have fulfilled my purpose. I feel like something's missing. However, in paradise, you will be busy doing enjoyable activities and you will never feel empty inside. You will always feel like, you know what, this is just getting better and better. Also, what it shows you is that people of paradise, subhanAllah, no worries anymore. No worries, no stresses anymore. Like you were a child playing in the playground, you had no stresses. Nothing, no think about work next day. Or thinking about, you know, money problems. Thinking about health problems. No problems anymore. All it is just bliss and happiness. Inna ashab al-jannati al-yawma fi shughulin fakihun. هم وأزواجهم في ظلال على الأرائك متكئون. Note how these verses are going to get, it's going to end on a climactic note, meaning that they're going to get better and better and better. Yeah, this is the way of the passage. It will get from good to better to better to the best. Allah says in this verse, هم وأزواجهم, they and their spouses. Yeah, or and their wives, fi dhilalin, they will be in shades, ala al-ara'iki muttaki'un, on couches, reclining. Ibn Atiyah said the word hum means, you know, those people that were just described as fakihun, as people in a state of exhilaration, they will experience this also. They will experience being with their spouses. Where will they be with their spouses? They will be ala al-ara'ik. The word arika, the word araik is the plural of the word arika. The arika, they said, is a special type of couch. It is a couch, number one, that is luxurious, a royal couch. Secondly, it is a couch on which you can lie down. A type of couch which is like, you know, the recliners? You press the button, the legs come up, back goes down. And the third part of it is that there's a canopy over the top of it. You know, like these luxurious curtains draping down? It's like that. Think about like these very posh beach resorts. Yeah, beautiful sand, blue sea, and then you have all these little private couches. Yeah, with these curtains being draped over them. Allah says, they will be inside ara'ik, meaning those type of things. And because of that, they have some shade that they will experience and enjoy. And also being in shade means that they will have private time as well, because they're with their wives. Muttaki'un, Ibn Ashur said, it is a special type of sitting. A sitting between sitting and between lying. He said it is the type where you get your elbow, put it on the ground, your palm open like this and your head falls into it like this. Yeah? He said this is the type of posture them and their wives will be in shade, sitting on those royal couches under those canopies. What a beautiful sight. Many scholars here said, it is not just the sitting that they will be doing there, but they will be doing any romantic things in there. Yeah, there are romantic things in there. And I'll leave the rest of it to you, inshallah. They mentioned a number of things in there. Maybe it's not 9 o'clock yet, so we can't really mention those things. But you get the idea. Yeah, you get the idea. The other thing is, what are they relaxing and doing? This verse contrasts with the previous verse. The previous verse is about being busy, doing so many different things, getting excited and exhilarated, whereas this verse is about relaxing and chilling out. Yeah, that one is about being busy, this one is about just relaxing. Another thing is that, what are they looking at? You know, when you relax, sitting down, you start to enjoy the scenery around you. What would it look like in paradise? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us a number of amazing things. He told us that the blade of grass in paradise looks like diamonds. He told us that the soil is like fine white powder that smells of musk. He told us that the bricks which are used to make the castles are bricks of gold and silver. He told us that a tree in paradise is so enormous that if you started at the trunk and jumped on a horse and tried to find the end of one branch, it would take you 100 years. SubhanAllah. Unbelievable things. Unbelievable things. And you spoke about the rivers of paradise. 4 types of rivers. River of honey, river of wine, river of water, and river of milk. All of these unimaginable things. You will be looking at the best scenery you could possibly imagine. Yeah, you will be looking at something which will bring you joy to your eyes. This is the state of relaxation that they will be in. Ya Allah, make us from those people. Ameen. Lahum fiha fakiha. And they will have. Now notice, lahum came. Previously, the word hum came. This is extra wording. Instead of saying they will be, Allah is saying them, they will be. Them, they will be. The addition of the words lahum and hum is implying something else. If I start saying, he's going to get reward. He's going to get a reward. Him, see him? He's going to get the reward. Somebody may start thinking, oh, he means I'm not going to get the reward. He is going to get the reward. He's emphasizing the person. This is the implication. Allah is saying, those people are going to get something. They're going to get fruits. They're going to get wives. They're going to get X, Y, Z, meaning you're not going to get anything. You are not going to get anything. People of Jahannam will not get anything of this nature. Lahum fiha faqiyah. They will get faqiyah. Now remember that Allah said about the people of paradise, they will be in a state of faqihun. Remember that? The word here is faqiha. Sound similar? Yes, because the root is the same. We said the word faqihun came from the root of faqaha, which meant enjoyment and exhilaration. The Arabs, they called exotic fruits fawakih. From the same root, because when you bite into exotic fruits, you feel happy. When you bite into delicious fruits, you feel happy inside. Yeah, so the idea of happiness and enjoyment was tied to exotic fruits. Allah said, lahum fiha fakiyah. They will have exotic fruits. The word for fruit could be thamar. It could be fakiyah. The difference is, thamar is regular fruit. Faqiha is the exotic type of fruits. Lahum fiha faqiha. In Surah, I think it's Haqa, Allah said, قُطُوفُهَا daniya. That the fruits, you look at them on the trees, and daniya, they will draw down close to you so you can pick them yourselves. Yeah, this is automated service in paradise, basically. Yeah, you see something you like on the tree, a coconut at the top, you think, wow, I wish I could. Hang on a minute, it's coming towards me. There you go. The branch says, take me. Take it. قُطُوفُهَا دَانِي. It will come so close to them and they will be able to pick their fruits. وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ. Then Allah says, and they will have يَدَّعُونَ, whatever they order. Whatever you want to order in paradise, go ahead. It will be yours. At-Tabari said, مَا يَدَّعُونَ actually means مَا يَتَمَنَّوْنَ, whatever you wish for. You know, sometimes you go to someone's house, mashallah, they present to you much food, okay? The table is full of food. You see something on the other side, which you think, you know, that looks quite appetizing. But you're a bit shy, you know, you're not asking for that thing. You're like, oh, greedy bugger. Want to eat from what's in front of you. So you feel shy. Allah says, don't worry. In paradise, you see many things you want. Whatever you wish for, you don't even need to ask for it. It's going to come for you. Yeah, whatever you want to ask for. I remember, there's a hadith from a Bedouin comes to the Prophet ﷺ, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, in paradise, is there going to be a farm? The Prophet ﷺ says, why do you want a farm in Jannah for? He said, I just want to know, is there going to be a farm in paradise? The Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَهُمْ مَا يَدَّعُونَ. Whatever you want in paradise, you want a farm, go ahead, you can take a farm. It reminded me, subhanAllah, when we were young, my dad used to tell us bedtime stories. Sometimes he would say, look, let's talk about paradise. And he would describe paradise. And then he would say, you can have anything you want. So what would you want? So I said, you know what? Is there a doner kebab in paradise? And my dad would say, look, you won't want doner kebab in paradise. I said, yeah, but is there going to be doner kebab in paradise? He goes, anything you want in paradise. So yeah, doner kebab will be there. I said, yes, there's going to be doner kebab in paradise. Even today, I was thinking about that. I asked my daughter, I said, well, if you could have anything in paradise, what would you ask for? And because I was eating crisp and I told her she couldn't have any. She goes, I would ask for 200 packets of crisp. I said, when you get to paradise, you don't need to worry about anything. You can ask for anything. Yeah. And this is the beauty of the Quran. Allah specified something, you're going to get exotic fruits. And then He added, and whatever else you want. Because people have different tastes. Yeah, women have different tastes to men. Is that true or not? Yeah. What you ask women, what would you like in paradise? Maybe you'll get, you know, answers different to men. Actually, definitely you would get answers different to men, right? So this is the beauty of the Quran. It opens it up. Whatever you want to put inside that, you can put inside that, and you know what? You're just wishing for it. Whatever you wish for, that is what you will get. And this is where it comes to the climax. Could it get any better than this? Yes, it could. Salamun qawlam min rabbir rahim. Peace, a word from the Lord of Mercy. Allahu Akbar. This has two interpretations. Firstly, salamun means peace, full stop. These people, what they're going to get now is the most superior grade of peace and prosperity for an eternity. Yeah, they will live in a state of complete peace and prosperity, and it also means protection as well. And that is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the gift of Allah to those people. The second interpretation is salamun qawlam min rabbir rahim, means Allah will say assalamu alaykum to the people of paradise. Yeah, and here subhanAllah, Al-Qurti brought a beautiful narration. He said that whilst the people of paradise are busy enjoying themselves and its delights, a light will shine on top of them from above. And when that happens, they will turn their heads and look up. When they look up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal Himself to them. And then Allah will say to them, Assalamu alaykum ya ahl jannah. Peace be upon you, O people of paradise. Salamun qawlam min rabbir rahim. This is what the Prophet then recited. Yeah. And then he said, their eyes will become fixated on Allah, and they will not look towards anything else of bliss in paradise. Now just imagine the amount of things you will see in paradise. They are things that will bewilder you. That is how beautiful and amazing they are. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that what Allah has prepared in paradise, no eye has seen, no ear has ever heard of, and no heart has ever imagined. Yeah. Despite this, when the people of paradise see Allah, everything else will become secondary. Nothing else will matter. Nothing else is more beautiful than seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah would say that the greatest pleasure that can be given to human beings is the delight of seeing the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even Jannah doesn't beat the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing beats the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he also said that the greatest punishment a person can experience is being told, you will not see Allah. La ilaha illallah. Yeah. And he recited, he mentioned the verse in Surah Mutaffifin. What is the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there will be there will be a hijab between them and Allah. Inna rabbahum yawma idhil la mahjubun. Indeed, their master will be for them veiled. That means that for those people, they will not get to see Allah. Allah will not want to see them. You know, when you, subhanAllah, when your mom and dad tell you off, there's a number of things they can say that can really make you feel disappointed. The worst one is, you know what, I don't even want to look at you anymore. That's the one that hurts the most, isn't it? Imagine Allah, the one who created you, says, I don't want to see you anymore. Yeah, I don't want nothing to do with you. And Ibn al-Qayyim said, that pain of that is the worst punishment anyone could ever experience. May Allah save us from such a thing. SubhanAllah. Wujuhun yawma'idhin nadira. Allah says in Surah Qiyamah, faces that day will be nadira, will be radiant. The word nadira comes from nadr, which means gold. Allah is saying, people's faces will turn golden. Why? إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرًا. Because they are staring at their master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is beautiful. Allah is saying, when people see Allah, they will be filled with so much happiness that their faces will change color. Yeah, and you know, the opposite is so true as well. You know, you see some people, innocent people, they were imprisoned. And you see pictures of them afterwards. And they... faces change color because of the torture that they have been through. You know what I'm talking about? Their face has turned color, their hair has become all frail, they have lost all weight. You think to yourself, what must this person have gone through for his face to turn color like this? Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those people, they will experience so much enjoyment because of looking at me that their faces, subhanAllah, will become golden and shining. May Allah make us of those people. Ya Rabbi. Amen. Salamun qawlan min Rabbir Rahim. And then Allah says, this statement of Assalamu alaykum ya Ahl al Jannah is coming from Rabb, a master who is described as Rahim. The word Rahim comes from the root of Rahim, which means the womb of the mother. The Arabs tied the idea of love, care, and mercy to the womb of the mother because in the womb of the mother is the most beautiful illustration of mercy and love between two human beings. The mother's love for her child is not rivaled by anyone else. Allah is saying, He is Rahim. And the person would say, Ar-Rahman, the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman, rather he's Ar-Rahim. The word for womb is taken from the name of Ar-Rahman itself. As if to say that the love the mother experiences for her child is a product of Allah being Ar-Rahman. Yeah, Allahu Akbar. Allah being Ar-Rahman. And this, my brothers, it teaches us a number of lessons. Okay. The first lesson it teaches us is that the seeing of Allah is a reality. The believers will see Allah in the Akhirah. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said that they will see Allah more frequently depending on their good deeds. The more good deeds they did, the more they will see Allah. Until he said there will be some people, they will see Allah every morning and every evening. SubhanAllah. Every morning and every evening. And he said the least of them, they will see Allah once a week on the day of Friday, where people will be told there will be a letter sent to their houses, their mansions. And the letter would read, you have an appointment with Allah today, Yawm al-Jum'ah. And they will get dressed into their finest clothes and apply the finest perfumes. They will leave their wives behind and they will go towards a place of gathering. When they arrive there, they will see thrones. Thrones of gold, thrones of silver, thrones made of pebbles, of sapphire and precious stones, and some made of just musk, just perfume. And people will take their position depending on their deeds. And then they will wait and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the veil between himself and them. And then Allah will deliver a khutbah for them. Allahu Akbar. And they will sit and they will enjoy the khutbah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in some narrations, Allah will recite to them His word, the Quran. Imagine. Listening. It's unimaginable to listen and to think that you will hear Allah recite His own words. Subhanallah al-Azim. Mind blowing. So the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true, and it is the highest grade of reward anyone can possibly hope for. Secondly, an important lesson for us, especially living in difficult times where we see a lot of oppression, a lot of killing, a lot of injustice taking place. Paradise makes you forget all pain. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the person who suffered the most in this life but was destined for paradise will be taken and he will be dipped inside paradise for a moment. Then Allah will ask him, did you suffer anything in this life? He would say, Ya Rab, I never suffered no hardship, no suffering whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Subhanallah. The moment you enter paradise, the moment you see paradise, every grievance you had in this life, every suffering that you experience, it will become forgotten. Totally forgotten. And why is it important? Because it helps us appreciate the bigger picture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will try some people with some seriously difficult times. And though it looks like this person has been, given a bad hand in life, in reality, if this person died with iman, having suffered in his life, he will get paradise, and the moment he enters paradise, he will forget about everything. He will tell the right and say, I didn't suffer anything in this dunya, man. Nothing happened to me. What are you talking about? I got a bad hand. In fact, there's a beautiful statement of Atta ibn Abdullah. Atta ibn Abdullah is one of the contemporary scholars. He passed away recently. He said that throughout history, Allah overwhelmed some people with extreme fortune and others with extreme poverty. Yeah, he said, if you look at history, there's very few people in the middle. You have people who have been, given a lot of fortune and others that have been seriously deprived. And in the middle, there are very few people. But he said, both of those sets of people have the same path leading towards the doors of paradise. Though their paths are different, they both lead to the same destination, except for one thing. The path of the people of suffering is an easier path than those of fortune. Because the people of fortune, their goal in life is to be grateful for the fortune. And the people who are suffering, their goal in life is to bear it with patience. Now, he said, which path would you ask Allah for? Would you ask Allah for the easy path, which is a path of suffering? Or would you ask Allah for the path of fortune and say, oh no, it's okay, I'll be grateful? Yeah. He asked this question in order to make us think that, you know what, it's true. Being someone who has it all, it's very difficult, subhanAllah, to remain faithful and grateful to Allah subhanAllah. But when you have it tough, you start thinking about Allah straight away. Is that true or not? Yeah, you start thinking about Allah straight away. And this is the bigger picture. Suffering in this dunya, when it comes to believers, it should be understood in light of the hereafter. If you understand what happens to people after they die, and the things they will see, and how they will feel in hindsight, you will not start to question the justice of Allah. Rather, you will appreciate the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? May Allah make us people of paradise. May Allah make us of those who are grateful in good times and patient in bad times. Hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakum Allah khair, barakallahu feekum. Any questions from anyone? Anyone wanted to ask any questions? Yes. It's about Hawr al-Ain because the kids there.
Not really in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about Jannah, he talks a lot about the people having, sort of, for example, fruits.
Yep.
Well, why is it fruits that's particularly mentioned in different sources? Yep.
Okay. So the brother asked a question. In the Quran, frequently Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the foods of the people of paradise, and usually it's about fawakia. In Surah Waqia, it's about lahm as well, meat as well. So don't worry, inshallah, shawarma is there. But generally speaking, it's fakia. Why? Al-Razi said one of the reasons is because people of paradise, they don't feel hungry. So when they eat, they don't eat to get rid of hunger, they eat to get enjoyment. You know, like a tasting platter. You're just eating, you're not hungry, you're just eating to enjoy the taste, you know. So that is why exotic fruits are mentioned, because people don't eat exotic fruits for dinner. They eat them after dinner. It's like the dessert, right? People in paradise, they're just worried about desserts, basically. Yeah? Just eating in order just to taste delight on their tongues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.